Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Manuel de Falla. From his 7 popular Spanish songs, we heard Nana, performed by trumpeter Alison Balsam, our guest today on Crossover. I'm delighted to welcome you, Alison.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you today.
A lot of people don't realize that you are a trumpeter, and I often wonder how you must feel when you come out looking very, very glamorous and kind of offbeat, and you just play like an angel. So do you get a kick out of surprising people? Do they expect you to be who you are and look the way you do?
That's a good question. I'm a sucker for a lovely evening gown. You know, it's an amazing thing to get to dress up and
it's
do that.
Fun, isn't
but really,
it?
But my first priority really is to, I love the music that I play so much that is my first priority. So when I walk out on the stage, you know, it's a bit of a cheap trick really to come out, you know, trying to look your best, because really I'm not thinking about any of that. All I'm thinking about are those first few notes of the piece I'm going to play, you know, and I don't just want to, you know, be a good trumpeter, which of course I do. I want to be a good musician, and I want to move people in some way. And I want, you know, the ideal is when people say at the end of a concert, oh, I didn't think I liked the trumpet, or I didn't think I liked classical music, and now I do. You know, that's the ultimate compliment. You know, that's a lot of work, because, you know, obviously I want to play the music as well as I possibly can, but also I want to change people's preconceptions sometimes about the instrument and about the music.
Well, and certainly about women playing it. I think that that's something that it's still an old-fashioned, kind of a cliche that women and brass instruments are kind of unique. I mean, that's something very, maybe for French horns, you know, people will accept that, but trumpeters and trombonists and so on, I think that people still say, well, that's not really a woman's instrument, and no matter how devoted they are as, you know, music lovers, there is a kind of an attitude, I think, about that. That's why I suppose that when you do come out looking as a lovely young woman, and then you play the pants off of something, people are really, really taken by storm. And you have. I mean, you have, such kudos. You have won so many, many awards and have been, you know, cited as being, you know, the recording artist of the year, or the young recording artist of the year, or whatever title they want to give to you. But essentially, you have gotten amazing reviews on your performances and your recordings. And I think that's the beauty of it all. You are dedicated as a musician, and you certainly are exploring the repertoire. I read that you wanted to play the trumpet when you were a little girl. Your parents took you to a concert, and you decided that. Now, who was it? Was it Håkan? I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
It's a Swedish trumpet player called Håkan Hardenberger. I heard him when I was very young, and I thought, yeah, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Really?
And had no idea that would be, you know, quite a hard thing to achieve. I just thought, this is my dream, you know, so that's what I will follow. But just going back to what you were saying before, it's you know, it's interesting that you would say, you know, as a woman, you come out and you do this. I think women have had that, women have to do that even today. Women still have to, you know, break down barriers of stereotypes and, you know, do things 120% to prove their, you know, their worth in doing it. And so I'm not alone in that way. And it's thrilling to have that opportunity.
Thank you.
A work very well known to many people, the Caprice No. 24 by Niccolo Paganini, performed here on the trumpet by our guest today, Alison Balsam. Now, you are exploring the repertoire as well. I mean, you're going into all kinds of things in terms of new music. And what I was rather taken with was the Zimmermann Trumpet Concerto. Is it that you play your own arrangement of Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen before you play the trumpet concerto? Is that what happens?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because I thought this trumpet concerto by Zimmermann is absolutely incredible. It's amazing masterwork, but it is very challenging and there's a lot going on. And it's one of those pieces that the more you listen, the more you think, wow, this has really got something to it. But I thought it'd be nice to introduce this very simple melody with lots of space around it just before we hear, you know, just to precede that that big concerto, because, you know, both are valid. You know, if you hear something in a sort of unadulterated form, that's, you know, that has certain qualities to it, that something that's very complicated, you know, that has something else. So I thought it would be a nice journey, really, through the disc.
Well, of course, it's a very mournful, you know, spiritual anyway,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And certainly would be very fertile ground for, you know, examining, you know, how you can, I guess, bring it into the contemporary mode, because that's really what it is. We've just heard the traditional spiritual Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen in an interpretation by Alison Balsam. This work is included as an important part of the newly released Zimmermann Trumpet Concerto. And then again, of course, on the other end of the spectrum, you have the newest album that you have with the concertos?
It is.
The Baroque.
That's right. The newest album is called Seraph, and that's the one with the Zimmermann and something called this brand new concerto, world premiere, called Seraph. And actually, this performance on the disc is live from the world premiere performance, because we thought we'd love to keep the sort of electricity and the energy from that very first time it was ever played. And then we have something that's unaccompanied, very beautiful piece by a Japanese composer called Takamitsu.
Oh, yes, he's very famous as well. And
yeah.
What kind of reactions do you get? I mean, that would be a very challenging, I think, repertoire for a lot of people that are just listeners. Yes, you know what I mean.
Well, it can be challenging, but at the same time, I mean, for instance, this Takamitsu piece, it's quite abstract, it's true, but it's very, very beautiful, and it's all about the subtleties and the slight changes of light. It's called Paths, actually, and what it's depicting is the journey around a Japanese garden and, you know, the various slight changes of the view and the light and that kind of thing. So it's very gentle and subtle, and I think once you know that about what the meaning, I think that gives you an insight into how to listen to it. And I think if you present it in the right way, these things aren't, you know, people, listeners, just because they're not, you know, professional musicians, they're not stupid. They are looking for something that will move them and have some kind of depth. And this piece certainly has that. So
he wrote quite a bit of film music as well, I think.
He wrote a lot of music that's really treasured, you know, in various media.
We've just heard Paths, music of Toru Takemitsu, performed here by Alison Balsam. Then again, you've done some Baroque works. You did an album of Italian concertos, mm-hmm. was it?
Mm-hmm.
And did you use your regular trumpet for that, or did you change a trumpet at any point on any of your performances?
Yeah, no, for the Italian concertos disc, I did the whole thing on the piccolo trumpet,
yes.
which is which for those people who don't know, it's a very modern invention, actually.
Well,
it's
that's
invented
the second
in the
Brandenburg
1950s.
One, isn't it? Isn't that the one they used in the second Brandenburg?
They do now, but it was only invented in the 1950s. And of course, Bach didn't write the Brandenburg in the 1950s. And it's before that was the natural trumpet, you know, this trumpet with no vowels.
No vowels.
And this piccolo trumpet, the first, probably the most famous first time you hear it used is on the Beatles' Penny Lane. And it sounds quite like an oboe. So that's why on this Italian concertos album, I did some transcriptions of oboe and violin concertos.
Yes.
Because it's got this lovely woodwind kind of quality to it.
Thank you.
you've just heard the concerto after a sonata da chiesa, that's a church sonata in D minor by Tommaso Albinoni, performed here by Alison Balsam, who also transcribed the grave movement. She is joined by an ensemble. I'm Jill Pasternak. You're listening to Crossover here on WRTI. Our guest today is Alison Balsam, trumpeter. Is it difficult? After all, you know, you have your solo instrument. I mean, the trumpet is a melodic instrument, and I would imagine that when you transcribe them for trumpet, it probably was helpful to use perhaps violin or oboe concerti. Because it's a vocal line.
Exactly. And it's more virtuosic, actually, because the trumpet music of the time, of course, it was very limited because we had this instrument that didn't have all the notes of the scale. So because we had this, you know, I had the piccolo trumpet. My argument for transcribing from other instruments' repertoire was that if those, you know, from Vivaldi and Albinoni and these composers had a piccolo trumpet, this is possibly how they would have written for it.
Yes, well, I would imagine that. And there are a lot of transcriptions for other instruments of the various Baroque concerti. I mean, I think a lot of other instruments have done that. But you are really running the gamut. Yes, you heard it here, Liber Tango, music of Astor Piazzolla, performed by our guest today, Alison Balsam, trumpeter, in this case with the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra conducted by Edward Gardner. What about, dare I say, jazz?
Well, I love jazz, and I feel that I'm very influenced by jazz in many ways. Sometimes indirectly, sometimes directly. My very first love was, in fact, the great American jazz trumpet player Dizzy Gillespie.
Oh, wow.
And I still think he's one of the greatest, you know, greatest trumpet players of all time that ever lived. And, you know, mainly because he wasn't about the trumpet. It was about this singing line. You know, he obviously had a masterful technique, but it was all about making the instruments sing, which I think it doesn't matter what the genre is that you're playing, that is, you know, that's got to be your first priority, to sing.
Well, I think that in the reviews of your performances that the critics cite that you have a very warm tone and I guess a kind of an intense melodic, you know, performance of the melody, the line of the melodic line of the music. It's very important, I guess, because the trumpet is really it's kind of the hero of the brass section, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. Well, I think so. I think the trumpet's the best instrument.
Well, if you thought you heard Syrinx by Claude Debussy, which is known as a great flute solo, you did. except you heard it played on the trumpet by our guest today, Alison Balsam. Now, you're going to be appearing at the Hollywood Bowl, is that right, at some point?
That's correct. Yeah, with the Los Angeles Philharmonic in the summer, in August.
That's very, very exciting. I know you were in Philadelphia here. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to go to hear you. But what's on the agenda for you in terms of, so this is the newest recording that was out, or is out, is The Seraph, is that right?
That's correct. And I will be making a new recording in just about 5 weeks, which is on the natural trumpet, the Brooke trumpet without any valves. And it's going to be completely Purcell and Handel. And it's with period instruments, as I said, you know, period orchestra, with the amazing English concert with Trevor Pinnock.
Oh, they're wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Extraordinary. So that's what we're recording very soon. And then that album will come out in the fall.
Now, again, the challenges of a valveless trumpet are?
Well, obviously you have to make all the notes with your lips, which you kind of have to do on the modern trumpet anyway, you know, with your embouchure. But they're not really there. They're not always there. And it's just a very risky instrument. And it is very, you know, because of this lack of all the notes, it's a quite limited instrument. But the reason why it's so worthwhile is because the sound is so extraordinary and is so incredibly, you know, it's a very, very close sound to the human voice when it's played in a soft way. And yet when it's played loudly, it's really, really thrilling and really sort of militaristic and heroic.
So now, do you have a trumpet like that?
I mean, I do, yeah.
You have a trumpet like that. And I mean, did you have that made, or are they still in existence?
I had it. No, I mean, they're reproductions. They are trumpets that, you know, mine was made in 2000. But they are very, very, absolutely very, very close to what Bach, Handel, Purcell and those composers would have had at the time.
So history is going backwards, I guess. People talk about the great innovations that are made on musical instruments so that things can be easier. But I guess it's always tempting to go back and say, can I do that really? You're absolutely right.
I think you can only do easier if the sound is paramount. If it's, you know, for instance, I play my piccolo trumpet in an odd key. I always play it in B flat, which for those trumpeters will know that means it means that you're playing in a very strange key that's not the easiest key to play in. But, you know, just for intonation, it works better. So, you know, if it works better for the sound, you've got no choice. You have to do what's harder, you know, and it's only okay to make it easier if the sound is still okay. And, you know, these trumpets are very, very hard to play, but the sound is extraordinary. And it's exquisite. So you have to, you know, that's got to be your first priority.
So it's a warmer sound, a rounder sound?
No, it's in a way, it's quite hard to describe, really. I mean, the bell is smaller. It means that when you play loud, it can be really sort of terrifying and, you know, sort of militaristic. Mm-hmm. And when you play soft, it's very, what's it like? It's very, it has the sort of inflections of a human voice singing quietly. Which is, you know, the modern trumpet is a bit more sort of symphonic sounding.
Or brass, more brass.
Or brassy, possibly.
Well, I think that Baroque instruments are like that. These stringed instruments are the same because I think they tuned lower it was a more intimate, you know, performance in any case. So is there anything else aside from this tremendous challenge that you have that you're looking forward to for the near future, besides being probably nominated again for one of the outstanding artists of the year?
Well, that would be nice. Obviously the Hollywood Bowl is something I'm really excited about. And the Los Angeles Philharmonic are amazing. So that's that's a real treat and will be a pleasure this summer. And also, obviously, as the world comes into London for the Olympics, I will be taking the flight the opposite direction to Los Angeles. But I am also going to be doing a project at the Globe Theatre in London, where we have a lot of Shakespeare plays.
Yes, of course.
And of course, Shakespeare in Love was set there. And this Purcell and Handel album that I'm making, we're commissioning a play to be written about the trumpet. Ooh. And we'll be performing there probably 18 shows at the Globe next summer.
Well, Alison, just a pleasure speaking to you. I know you're very, very busy, and I feel very privileged that you took the time out to speak with us. We play your music all the time on the station.
Thank you.
We wish you the best. And if you come to Philadelphia, we hope to see you once again.
That would be lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jean-Baptiste Arbon was a trumpeter and a great teacher who explored the possibilities that the new valve trumpet presented in the 19th century. Here are his variations on the aria Casta Diva from Bellini's Norma, performed by Alison Balsam, with the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra conducted by Edward Gardner. We've just heard trumpeter Alison Balsam performing the variations on the aria Casta Diva from Bellini's Norma by Jean-Baptiste Arban, with the Gothenburg Symphony Orchestra, Edward Gardner conducting. Until next time, I'm Jill Pasternak.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.